From the KTOA newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The city and borough of Juneau says it's outgrown City Hall. Actually, it outgrew the aging building more than 20 years ago and spends over $1 million annually both for maintenance and for leasing space in nearby office buildings. Now the city has proposed building a $27 million new City Hall, big enough to hold all of CBJ's operations. KTOA's Adeline Baxter has more on the expected costs and savings of that plan.
City Manager Rory Watt laid it out before the Juneau Assembly earlier this week. The city currently spends $750,000 a year to lease space in other buildings nearby. In his view, that's not sustainable.
I'm thinking that Juneau is going to have a municipal government for 50 or 100 years. And I've, in my municipal career, I've watched us pay rent for 26 and a half years. And that does not make sense to me.
The city contracted Northwind Architects last fall to come up with a conceptual design for a new city hall on top of the downtown Transportation Center parking garage. The garage was built in 2009 and was designed to be load-bearing to accommodate future structures. At various points over the years, proposals have been made to place a new state capitol on or near the site. Nothing ever panned out, and Watt said the additional two floors of office space would accommodate all city operations and allow CBJ to maintain its presence in downtown, where buildable land is limited. Assemblymember Carol Treem agreed with Watt.
When it comes to location, my gut instinct is that having City Hall in the core of CBJ downtown sounds just as important visibly as a symbol, especially with the state capitol right up the hill.
Assemblymember Rob Edwardson pushed back at that, pointing out that relocating City Hall elsewhere could improve public engagement.
20,000 of the 32,000 people in Juneau live out in the valley. Most of our meetings are held in the evening, so it wouldn't really matter whether they work downtown or not. They would be closer to their homes, which means, again, more accessibility.
Edwardson also said building a new city hall will only get more expensive the longer they talk about it. But there's still plenty to talk about, like how the city plans to pay for the $27 million project. It says that selling or leasing the existing city hall would open up new revenue streams, but the new building would most likely be financed by bonds, in which case voters will get to decide. If they want that on the municipal ballot this October, that doesn't leave a lot of time. Mayor Beth Weldon directed city staff to get to work.
City manager, go forth and seek public input.
Meetings should begin this summer. Everything from the design and location of the new city hall to cost and payment plan will be up for public discussion. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
A bill that would close the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling cleared the U.S. House Resources Committee today on a party-line vote. The outcome wasn't a surprise, and the bill is likely to become law, but the session offered Congress members a chance to make their best case for or against drilling. And as Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports, some did so loudly.
California Democratic Congressman Jared Huffman describes his bill as merely reversing a part of the 2017 tax bill that opened the refuge to drilling.
It does nothing to go after the existing jobs in oil and gas. It simply says you can't expand into this one special place.
Huffman says the coastal plain of the refuge is important to caribou and to the Gwich'in people who rely on them.
Does any member wish to be recognized in the
bill? Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Mr. Young,
Mr. Chairman.
Alaska Congressman Don Young says he's heard it all before.
It was like an echo chamber. I heard the gentleman just speak. It's an echo chamber. Same words I've heard for many, many years that mean nothing.
Young says this time he's not getting overly worked up about this anti-drilling bill because, as he put it, there's no way in bejesus the Senate will pass it. He seemed to alternate between exasperation and boredom.
Yield the balance of my time to the gentleman from Alaska.
I listen to the same horseshit all the time.
One argument against drilling that's relatively new to the debate, climate change. California Democrat Mike Levin raised it.
We've got to sharply reduce greenhouse gas emissions in our country and across the planet in order to avoid up to $38 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars of economic damage to this planet this century.
Maybe it was the emphasis in Levin's voice, but just then, Republican Garrett Graves of Louisiana called for cooler heads to prevail.
So we consider an invent crap, or we can look at the facts and we can actually allow the facts to direct.
Yes, Graves made a plea for dispassionate reasoning while shouting.
Anwar has become this emotional issue. It's not based on merit. It's become an emotional issue. Most of you, in fact, 99% of you in the room, have never been there. You can't even freaking visit the place because it's a frozen tundra. It's not mountains. It's not trails.
A group of Gwich'in opponents of drilling watched from the back of the room. For them, the issue is emotional. Bernadette Dementev said afterwards she didn't like Graves describing land her people consider sacred as a wasteland.
I mean, that's insulting. This is our home. You know, this is where our ancestors, they migrated for thousands of years.
The bill to block drilling in the Arctic Refuge passed out of committee by a vote of 22-14. With Democrats in the majority, its chances of passing the full House are good. But as Congressman Young said, it's hard to imagine it passing the Senate. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
A legislative committee heard from mine critics on both sides of the border during a hearing in Juneau this week. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, it's part of an effort to pressure British Columbia to tighten its mining regulations to reduce the threat of pollution from transboundary mines.
After hearing exclusively from mine critics, Kodiak Republican Louise Stutes said the House Fisheries Committee's 90-minute hearing on transboundary mining wasn't meant to be anti-mine.
We are simply asking our neighbors across the border to adhere to best and safe practices when mining in our shared watersheds, which is clearly something they have a poor track record with.
The poor track record she referenced is to the Mount Polly disaster in 2014. A tailings dam breached, releasing billions of gallons of mine waste into salmon-rich streams in British Columbia. The company, Imperial Metals, was never fined by BC regulators. Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor David Landis said that's evidence that Southeast fisheries and visitor economies are vulnerable to future mishaps.
We need to do everything we can to protect ourselves from the risks of potential contamination from the Canadian mines upstream.
Governor Bill Walker signed a formal pact with his BC counterpart the following year to ensure closer cooperation. And late last year, the Walker administration went further, urging BC's government to require mine projects post full reclamation bonds. Should a mine go belly up or have a catastrophic failure, these bonds are designed to prevent the public from picking up the bill. Fishing groups in Alaska note that's already a requirement for Alaska mines. Here's UFA's Executive Director, Francis Leach.
United Fishermen of Alaska continues to support this request to ensure that the state resources are not harmed by Canadian large-scale mining developments in the headwaters of transboundary salmon rivers.
Canada's Eco-Fiscal Commission, an Ottawa-based think tank, testified that BC's mining regulations need reform. Lead researcher Jason Dion said despite the laws on the books, in practice, polluters in BC often don't pay, as was seen at Mount Polly.
When a company knows it might not bear all of the costs of a risk it poses in terms of the harm it might cause, it has less of an economic incentive to reduce that risk. And so from our perspective, that's a really, really important shortcoming.
Notably absent at the hearing was anyone from the mining industry or Dunleavy administration. But the Department of Natural Resources confirmed to Coast Alaska that a cabinet-level teleconference on transboundary mining will be held with BC ministry officials in mid-June. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Alaska marijuana regulators express frustration with the limited cooperation they say they're receiving with investigations from the State Department of Public Safety. The dispute dates to November. An acting director of the Alaska State Troopers notified the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office that its investigators would no longer have access to certain databases. Office Director Erica McConnell says access to the databases is based on one of two qualifications: being a criminal justice agency or peace officers. She says for decades, the state considered investigators related to the office's work peace officers. She says she's not clear on what changed. A message seeking comment was sent to a public safety spokeswoman. McConnell says she expects a request to be made to the Attorney General for an opinion on the interpretation. A young humpback whale that had beached twice in South Central Alaska has been found dead. KTUU reports the whale was found Tuesday near the south end of Turnagain Arm. The young whale became stranded in the arm Sunday and again on Monday, but appeared to free itself Monday night. Farina Gill of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the whale washed ashore again yesterday, a few miles south of where it beached Monday. She says teams formed to investigate the death, but work would stop at 5 p.m. because of the incoming tide. And finally, the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau area tonight calls for partly cloudy skies, low around 39. Thursday, 30% chance of rain, mainly after 1 p.m., partly sunny, with a high near 51. The UAF Geophysical Institute's aurora forecast tonight is a 4 active. Weather permitting, active auroral displays will be visible overhead from Juneau and low on the horizon as far south as Prince Rupert. Peak activity began this afternoon and is forecast to fall off after 10 p.m. tonight. I'm Jeremy Shea, and you've been listening to KTOO Juneau.